From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, an astounding 250 pro-life bills have been introduced in 41 states just since the beginning of this year. And one of them was signed into law earlier today as Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed the Heartbeat Bill into law. One of the bill's authors, Ohio State Representative Candace Keller, joins me in just a moment. And WikiLeaks mastermind Julian Assange is facing up to 12 months in a British prison after he was arrested at the Ecuadorian embassy in London today. He is also facing charges in the U.S. for his cyber crimes. FRC's Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin is here on the significance of this case. Also, as we continue to highlight religious persecution abroad in cases like Pastor David Lynn, we talked about earlier this week. By the way, there's information on the website, TonyPerkins.com, on how you can sign a petition to pray for him. As we focus on those Christians being persecuted abroad, we can't overlook the growing religious intolerance here in the United States, which is a precursor to persecution. I'll talk with David Abel, the Christian owner of a wedding venue in Pennsylvania, who has faced the growing intolerance of the left simply for operating their business according to their Christian convictions. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, as I mentioned, we've seen so many pieces of pro-life legislation that have passed through the states in the last decade. In fact, in the last decade, we've seen more pro-life laws go into effect in the last 10 years than we saw in the previous 30 since Roe v. Wade passed. Well, this year alone, 250 have been introduced, and today Ohio became the seventh state to pass what's called a heartbeat bill that says that once a heartbeat is detected, the baby is protected. Joining us now is one of the authors of the bill in the state of Ohio, Ohio State Representative Candace Keller, who also runs the largest pregnancy care center there in the state of Ohio. Representative Keller, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be talking to you today.
Well, I'm sure you have to be excited because this bill, having made its way through the legislature twice before, having been vetoed by the previous governor today, embraced by the governor shortly after passing the legislature, it is now on its way to being enforced in the state of Ohio. You've got to be excited about that.
It's just an incredible, it's been an incredible 48 hours. We got it through the House yesterday, through the Senate, only about 30 minutes later, and the governor just signed it at 3:30 today.
Give our listeners the kind of what the concept behind the heartbeat bill. It's pretty straightforward, but explain it.
It's really quite simple. If a heartbeat is detected in an unborn child, which is around 5 weeks, 5 days is the earliest that we have ever gotten one. A physician it becomes a crime for a physician to abort that child, and it's a fifth degree penalty. So it's been, the bill has been in the making for 9 years. Ohio was the first state to introduce it, but it took us, you know, six other states have done it before we managed to do it. So we did do it today. It seemed like a dream come true that was coming together. I think this is our time. It's time to do it now.
Well, you mentioned it's been 9 years in the making. Former Republican Governor John Kasich vetoed the bill twice. In fact, last year up during the Christmas break, I know the drama was pretty intense there in Ohio. But I guess it kind of reminds me of the Ohio State motto, which says, with God, all things are possible. And that that certainly is true today.
It was, yeah, there was a lot of drama in December. We were one vote short. We thought we had the votes, and we didn't. But you know what? It's April the 11th. It took us 4 months longer to do it, and we did do it today. The governor kept his promise. So we're very excited. I'm very optimistic. We are the seventh state to pass it, and this actually, Ohio is the seventh largest state in the nation. I don't know if that means anything, but we here in Ohio believe that as Ohio goes, so goes the nation. Because we call it the show, and this is called the show, you know, Ohio. And so it's already, you know, making national news. I'm so proud of the bill. We worked so hard on it. And it's only my second bill I've ever passed, and I'm so happy about it.
Well, it's certainly one to be happy about, and it's certainly one to have at the top of your list of bills that you have passed. And Representative Keller, you base this, your argument, as you helped move this bill through the process, science. That's the science is very clear on this. And what is amazing to me is how the left, those on the left, you know, want to criticize the right for not being supportive of science. And here are the ones denying, you know, basic biological based gender and even life. And you use science to make this bill possible.
You know, it's impossible to disregard science now. In 1973, when Roe happened, we didn't have 4D ultrasound. That's 43 years ago. Now we virtually have a window inside the womb. We can see eyelashes very early. We can see fingernails. You can't, you know, the left has always said, you know, you're not honoring science and technology. Well, you know what? We're the only ones honoring it because we see, as I said in my floor speech yesterday, when a needle or a cannula comes near to a child in the womb, they will pull away in pain. So there's no denying that. And I was very reluctant to mention that in my floor speech, but it's time. Enough is enough. And we've heard enough excuses. It's time to tell the truth. If we really care about the unborn, or really if we really care about the welfare of women, we will tell the truth, and this is the truth. And when you lay the truth out before those who are pro-abortion, they have no argument. There was nothing they could come back with other than that we don't care about women or, you know, some other. I was surprised that their arguments were so ineffective, and I'm thankful to the Lord, first of all, that we have the technology that we have, but secondly, that you cannot dispute life begins at conception. There's no question about it now. We know the truth.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. We're talking with Ohio State Representative Candace Keller, who was one of the main sponsors of the heartbeat bill in the state of Ohio, which was signed into law just less than about an hour ago by Governor Mike DeWine. Twice before, it was vetoed by the previous governor. Now it is the law in the state of Ohio, or will soon be. Candace, you also operate the state's largest pregnancy care center. Doesn't that give you even more, I think, I would say, authority, or at least the background to be able to speak with authority on an issue like this?
First of all, it's not the largest. I wish it was, but it's one of the bigger ones. But, you know, when God, as soon as you come into relationship with God, I believe you're immediately called into ministry. And for me, it was me just minding my own business at some point in my life and accepting the position of being executive director of a pregnancy center. And, you know, I got fabulous on-the-job training about what it means to be a pro-life director and to stand for life. And so when I ran for office 12 years later, as the only pregnancy center director in the nation to serve in any legislature, I thought, well, I've got the training, that's for sure. I've been waiting for 12 years, and I ran. I was a long shot, believe me, a real long shot. But when I got to the state house, I thought, what is my agenda here? And my agenda has been my whole life, pro-life. It's been the thing that is at the very center of my heart and my life. It's every breath I take. So when I got to the house, 19 days into my tenure, the speaker came to me and said, the heartbeat bill is back, and we don't have anybody to come to the floor and speak on it. Will you please speak on it? And I was so terrified and mortified. But I thought, you know what, I don't know a lot about, you know, workers' comp and water quality and energy and all the things we deal with up here. But there's one thing I know, like the back of my hand, and it's life. And I did speak from the floor, and we did pass the bill, and the governor vetoed it. But this has been, it's an amazing thing when God takes what I think are meager qualifications. I'm not a highly educated woman, but I know babies. I know life. I know ultrasounds. I know everything that has to do with pregnancy centers. And so when I spoke yesterday, I was astonished that I could convince my colleagues that this was the right thing to do. And so it's just it's a putting together of God's plan for each of our lives to put us in a position. This is really my assignment. My calling is pro-life work, but my assignment right now in Ohio is to get this bill passed. And I can't, it's almost unbelievable to me that it has happened this soon. We're ready for court challenges. We're ready to dig in our heels and watch this thing take place in this country.
Now, the governor, Governor Mike DeWine, previously serving as the Attorney General of the state of Ohio, obviously knows a little bit about defending laws. I assume that he is getting things lined up to be able to defend this law.
Oh, yeah, we're ready for this to be challenged. We expect it to be challenged. We want it to be challenged. There is not one word in the Constitution about abortion, not a word. In fact, there's not a word in our Constitution about anything about the American family or marriage, even. We are, our founders understood that we knew how to be independent of the government. And so, you know, I frequently hear people say this is a constitutional right. There's nothing in the Constitution about abortion. There's nothing about right to privacy in the Constitution. Case law is not law. And so we're anxious to see this be challenged in court. We're anxious to see that it go to the Supreme Court. And we will see as state after state after state begins to do what we just did, and along with the six other states, and there are others coming along. Finally, the Supreme Court is going to have to look at these states and think, you know what, we need to look at this thing again. 43 years have passed. Maybe we were wrong.
I agree 100%, and I am grateful for leaders like you, Candace, that the Lord has raised up across the country. And I know there's been some that have been dismissive and not in agreement with the heartbeat bills. But see, I think my view has always been when you have, as a former state legislator, when you've got those that have been feel called by God to advance these causes, and it's clear that that's the purpose the Lord has placed you where you are, that we just need to be yielded to Him and do our very best and leave the outcome to Him. And it is amazing to me to see the number of pro-life laws that have come into effect in the last 10 years, but even those that have been introduced this year. I do believe that we will see in the very near future Roe v. Wade, as it has been for the last four decades, overturned, turned back to the states, and we'll see more leaders like yourself standing up for the unborn at the state level.
I look forward to it. I love the opposition, and I love the battle. We are going to win. We will prevail.
All right. Candace Keller, thanks so much for joining us. And again, congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you so much.
All right. State Representative Candace Keller of Ohio, for just joining us. The governor of Ohio signing into a law today, a heartbeat bill, the seventh state in the nation to join it. Kentucky, Mississippi, Georgia, North Dakota, all ahead of them. By the way, this is something that the polling shows the American people support. 7 out of 10 Americans agree with the premise of the heartbeat bill. If a doctor is able to detect the heartbeat of an unborn baby, that unborn baby should be legally protected. I mean, think about it. When do you declare someone dead? When there's no heartbeat. So shouldn't they then not be declared alive when there is a heartbeat? We'll talk about that later when we open up the phone lines. But first, coming up next, our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins us to talk about the developments in London with Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, the mastermind behind that. He was arrested this morning, facing 12 months in jail in London and possibly here in the United States. That's next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, joining us now, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council, to talk a couple issues. First, Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder, expelled and arrested after he was expelled from an Ecuadorian embassy in London. He's facing about 12 months in jail in London, and now charges being filed against the United States by the United States against him for cyber crimes. General, how significant is this development? And you know, some would say, well, so much time has passed. He's been claiming political refuge in the embassy for the last 7 years. Some might say, well, this is old stuff. We don't need to pursue it any longer.
Yeah. You know, Tony, I think it's significant on a couple of fronts. One is just a simple fact that it shows a renewed relationship with Ecuador and President Moreno that made this decision here. I think this is a very positive move. The second thing, though, is that I would make the case, Tony, that Assange, Bradley Manning, and Edward Snowden all should be charged with murder. And I know that sounds extreme, but I think people need to understand that what they released was actually the names of people that were working with us in Afghanistan and Iraq, that were working with us in other places. And it has been proven that the Taliban actually set up an organization to go through WikiLeaks page by page and ferret out the names of those people in Afghanistan, for example, that were working with the U.S. forces, providing them information and support, and many of them were killed. So when I say that I think they should be charged with murder, I think the end result of what they've done certainly is murder.
Well, you mentioned Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, who went through was in prison but pardoned by President Obama. Is there the possibility that he could be charged again with the crime?
Well, he was commuted. He wasn't pardoned. He was commuted 3 days before Mr. Obama left office. And he is in jail in Alexandria, Virginia right now because he refused to testify at a grand jury hearing about WikiLeaks. So the judge just, because his sentence had been commuted, the judge just uncommuted it, I guess you could say, and locked him back up. But I think that as they get into, you know, a trial for Julian Assange, I think it's entirely feasible that Manning's case could come back up again, particularly given that he has acted with discontent and is in jail right now.
Well, apparently a part of the negotiations between Ecuador and Great Britain with the British government was that if they released Assange or expelled him, that he could not face the death penalty. So I assume that there's going to be some conversations between the U.S. And the British government as to what might happen to him if he's extradited back to the U.S.
Well, yes, I saw that, and I think that this is going to be a really important issue for the Trump administration as to whether they're going to be able to break through any of these agreements there and get him back to the United States. See, what he's charged with in the United States is actually hacking a government computer with Bradley Manning, and that carries a five-year sentence, up to a five-year sentence. And then, of course, you've got all of the 700,000 documents that Bradley Manning gave him for WikiLeaks, and all of that has to be dealt with. And to my mind and way of thinking, it hasn't yet been dealt with.
So this also, I would imagine, has a proscriptive effect from the standpoint of, you know, not allowing this stuff to be water under the bridge, but the fact that those who violate and expose U.S. secrets, hack into classified documents and post them, causing the deaths of individuals, endangering our men and women in uniform and other services, that there will be a price to pay.
There has to be a price to pay. And, you know, the other thing, Tony, is what this has done is it has set back the intelligence community. And I'll tell you why. When the 9/11 report came out, one of the major findings was that there was not enough sharing of intelligence between the 16 agencies. At that time, there were only 15, I think, and the FBI was brought in as a legitimate part after that. So because they were not sharing information that, you know, some of these hijackers slipped through the cracks. So they passed in 2004 legislation called the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act, and it was all about fixing this sharing. So they started sharing information, and quite frankly, the law enforcement side was very uncomfortable with that because they were afraid that the CIA, for example, would blow their cover on somebody they were investigating. That said, it was working well until these 700,000 pages came out. And when that occurred, it set them back and they started stovepiping information again. And, you know, the intelligence is back about, you know, where it was, you know, prior to 9/11. So that has been also one of the second order effects of this whole thing.
Very quickly, we're up against a break, but tomorrow the president's policy on transgenderism in the military takes effect. What do you see to be the immediate effect of that new policy?
Well, you will not be able to enlist in the military or come in on the commission if you have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria. But those that came in under the Obama policy will still be able to serve.
And you anticipate that there will be further opposition to this by the Democratic majority in the House?
There is no question. It's already started. It started back in March when it was announced that it would go into effect on the 12th of April.
All right. General Jerry Boykin, great to talk with you, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Good
like
to be
maybe
with
tomorrow.
You.
Okay. General Jerry Boykin, our own general. All right, don't go away. When we come back, we're focused on international religious liberty and the persecution of Christians abroad. But it begins with intolerance, and we see it here in this country. We're joined by a Christian business owner who is facing the growing intolerance of the left. That's next. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Stone Gables Estate, which runs both Star Barn and Ironstone Ranch in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, has a mission statement. And their mission statement is this. I'll read it to you. It says, as stewards, caretakers of Ironstone Ranch and the Star Barn Village, we strive to honor God in all that we do as we pursue excellence as it pertains to its endeavors. And then they have a purpose, their company purpose, to create a God-honoring legacy that will impact future generations with its charitable and benevolent acts of generosity. Now, what they do, in part, they have public events. They also host weddings. And they, in accordance with their Christian views, will only do weddings that meet biblical standards. And that has caused them to experience the growing intolerance of the left, who do not want to see people live out their faith in the marketplace or, quite frankly, any place else. David Abel is the steward of the property, and he says that they are committed to operating their business, the business they've been entrusted with, according to these biblical principles. And David joins us now. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony.
David, let me just start with this. Let me ask you to explain to our listeners how this became an issue for you.
Well, it became an issue. We've had it published for 7 years since we've been doing weddings, and we do weddings biblically, which the Bible is our guide and our source for all the way we live our lives and the way we operate our business. That marriage is between one man and one woman, which was defined by God himself. And so we've had those core values. We've had that statement on our website for 7 years. We've never had an issue. And then we come to find out that someone took an issue and took us to task, their words, to challenge us that we were discriminating. And then we received a vicious attack that it came against us, our faith beliefs, because it's really this bottom line of the whole situation. It's two different beliefs, and people that have faith in those beliefs. And as the Constitution protects us, that we can live out freely, exercise our religious faith here in this country without any law being passed that goes against that freedom, they've chosen to try to bully us, and force us to participate in an event that is in direct contradiction to our faith belief that marriage is between one man and one woman, and we can't do that.
Now, you've been very clear, David. I've actually read your statements, your letters, that anyone and everyone is welcomed into public events at your venues. Anyone can come. You'll serve anybody. But when it comes to an issue like marriage, which is biblically defined, that's where you draw the line. Is that an accurate read of what you've said?
Absolutely. All 7.7 billion human beings are welcome here at this Gables Estate, Starbarn Village, and Ironstone Ranch. We welcome all. We want to share what we've been entrusted with that belongs to God with the world. However, we cannot participate in any way, any event. It's all about an event, not people, not their choices, but about an event that is in direct contradiction to my longstanding core tenet of both my church and the Bible, which is my faith.
So, David, what kind of reaction have you had from the community?
Well, I mean, there's been an amazing outpouring of just beauty of people supporting us to be able to truly live out our religious freedom here in this country that was founded one nation under God, not over God, founded on religious freedoms, not freedom from religion. So there's been a beautiful outpouring from that aspect. But then there's been this, and I want to caution our listeners, there's been this outpouring of just wounds and hurts. And what the Lord put in my heart is that every one of these cries from woundedness, from brokenness, from rejection from people within the church is an opportunity for me and for all Christians to lift them up in prayer. We need to be that healing balm of God's mercy, God's compassion, and God's unconditional love. So for me, every time I get an email or a text or whatever I get that is negative, I don't take offense. I give it to the Lord. He can handle it. But my calling as a Christian is to pray for them. And that's what we need to do. And that will reverse the tide. Don't take up an offense. That's the bait of the enemy. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. For the beautiful healing balm of God's mercy to enter into their wounds, their brokenness. That's the opportunity that we're given.
I could not say it better. I think you're absolutely right. Plus, that also guards our heart. And that's why I think the Lord instructs us to pray for those who despitefully use us and treat us. Because once we become wounded, and that leads to bitterness, we become ineffective in working for the Lord. David, we're up against the break, but I've got one more question for you that if you can stick around for a couple minutes during the break, I want to ask you about what this is showing you about how fragile religious freedom is in this nation and what we must do to protect it. Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
All right. David Abel, my guest from Pennsylvania, owner of the Star Barn Village. He's going to stick around and answer that question, and then we're going to be opening up the phone lines. So don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right after this.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachman. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, we're going to go to the phones in just a bit, 866-372-7234. But first, I want to continue and wrap up my conversation with David Abel, who is the steward of Star Barn Village, part of the Stone Gables estate. David, before I get you to answer that question, I wanted to know when that event is going to take place with the 7 billion people there. It must be a big place you've got.
You know what? If you build it, they will come. So if the Lord wants to bring them, we're ready.
I hope you have plenty of porta-johns.
That's it.
Well, look, let me, this obviously, you've got a great attitude on this because I think you need to look at all these things as opportunities. And I think you're absolutely right. I think the anger we see from those on the left striking out is often out of woundedness and hurt. And we've got to guard our hearts against that because then we become ineffective. But we also need to be wise to what's happening. And what, as we advocate, as I was saying earlier in the program, we advocate for persecuted Christians and others abroad. In fact, we were talking with the daughter of a Chinese pastor who's in prison in China earlier this week. We need to understand that intolerance is the precursor to persecution. And what have you learned through this experience?
So my big key is this. What the Lord asked me to do, which is biblical, is stand and hold. Folding is not an option for Christians. And then let the Lord do the battle. This battle is his, but the way he does the battle is with love. Love conquers all. When we walk this out in humility and we walk it out in love, this truth, which is God's word, it is used then to pierce the heart and hopefully, prayerfully, be used for the salvation of souls. We need to let go and let God, but here's the key. We need to stand and hold. Do not fold. Stand on the word of God. The Lord will arm the people. The Lord will bring up the army. The prayer warriors are needed, key, throughout this country. This is a time for all Christians to stand, lock arms, and then let the Lord do the battle. It is amazing how when God chooses to use you, the impact it has on the world. This is a critical issue to stand and hold. marriage is the cornerstone of civilization.
Without question. In fact, our theme verse, I don't know if you listen to Washington Watch, but our theme verse is Ephesians 6:13, and it is to do just that, to stand. When we've done everything we can do, when we've prayed, when we've prepared, we just must stand. That's the instructions we are given by God, and to allow him then to work through that as we, as you say, we don't fold, but we stand. So what do you anticipate next, David?
Well, you know, for me, I take life one day, one step. I have the peace of the Lord, but I will tell you this. For the first hour and a half of every day, I fuel up and arm up so that when I exit my door and go to my phone and email, I'm filled with the Lord and not a root of bitterness. So that's so important for our readers to fill up with the Lord first so that we walk this out. I don't go into the future. I don't look at tomorrow. I live life today. I open the gift of life, this present moment, and I live it in love. And then I watch what the Lord does each day. I take it one day, one step. And Amen. That way, I have his peace.
David, I should have brought this out earlier, but I just before we wrap up here, I just wanted to mention that you have a total of 17 children, 12 were adopted from around the world, and the proceeds that derive from the operation there. This goes, a lot of this goes to help children around the world.
Yes, it actually goes to an organization called Brittany's Hope, which was founded on the death of our daughter that died in a car accident. And that organization, which is a 501c3 nonprofit, helps special needs children worldwide. So for my wife and I, we don't do this for monetary gains, but every dollar, we call it events with a purpose, every dollar of net profits, our mission is to give it away to make this world a better place.
Well, David, we appreciate what you do, and we appreciate the fact that you are standing firm for biblical truth, speaking the truth, speaking it in love, but speaking the truth nonetheless. So, David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, and God bless, Tony.
All right, David Abel. If you're in Pennsylvania, it's a great place, Star Barn Village. Maybe you should schedule an event up there. Anyway, he's absolutely right. It can be difficult in the midst of these battles to not want to strike back, become angry. We can't. You got to guard our heart. Have to guard our hearts. And what better way than to pray? And I will tell you, I've got a number of those folks on my prayer list in the mornings that I pray for, because you can't pray, you can't be angry or harbor anything in your heart for people when you pray for them. And so we need to pray for them, but we also need to stand for the truth. And that's what's good about this, is that it's both. It's not one or the other. It's not standing just for the truth with no love. That becomes legalistic. And it's not just, love with no truth. That becomes useless affirmation. So, but I think the message is very clear. We must stand for the truth. All right. Here's what I want to do. We just got a few minutes left, but I kind of wanted to go back. You can comment on this story if you'd like or ask a question, but I want to go back to the heartbeat bill out of Ohio. Ohio being, one of just a handful of states now. There's a few ahead of them. North Dakota actually has a case that potentially could go before the Supreme Court, or I think the court may have passed on it. I got to go back and look at the notes. But you've got Tennessee. You've got Mississippi, the governor there who was on the program not too long ago, that passed the heartbeat bill. Kentucky, I'm sorry, I said Tennessee. Kentucky, Mississippi, and Georgia all have heartbeat bills. Missouri and Tennessee, I think, are close to having them. I'm not sure that they've been signed into law yet. So would you like to see your state have a heartbeat bill? I mean, look, 250 pro-life pieces of legislation introduced just this year alone. Would you like to see your state have a heartbeat bill so that when the heartbeat is detected, a life is protected? Essentially, look, what is it that we declare someone is dead when there's no heartbeat? Shouldn't we declare them alive when there is one? Would you like to see that in your state? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234 to weigh in on Washington Watch. And let's go to Kenny in Oklahoma. Kenny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, good to talk to you again, Tony. Thank God for all of the legislation to stop and prohibit abortion. Thank God for it. Don't you think it's time that we get together, those that love America and love our children, and get legislation to stop the homosexual transgender indoctrination of the children in the public schools? We need to petition our legislators. We need to get laws on the federal level, state level, that will stop the homosexuals and the transgenders from indoctrinating our children in the public schools. Don't you think it's time that we get together and have a concerted, united effort on that front? And then also H.R. 5, the Equality Act in the House that promotes the transgender movement, if it passes the House, does it have to pass the Senate also to become law?
Yes, it does. And the Senate, Kenny, now becomes kind of the conservative backstop, if you will, against a lot of these crazy bills. But we're very concerned about what might happen in the Senate, because there's a lot of, weak-kneed Republicans there. And so this is a far-reaching piece of legislation that would, as we talked about yesterday, would complete with Congressman Comer, would completely trample religious freedom in the country. So you're right, Kenny. It has to be watched, but it's just like what we were discussing a few moments ago in Ohio, how as parents, as Christians, as leaders, we need to assume responsibility. I mean, Representative Keller, operating a pregnancy care center, never been involved in politics, so to speak, ran for office, now affecting policy. We need more parents to rise up for school boards, for city councils, for state legislatures, to say enough of this nonsense, this stuff that we know is polluting the minds of our children, leading them down destructive paths. We're not going to tolerate it. It's time to stop being silent and to being intimidated, and it's time to speak up in love. But, you know, it's not, you know, so many people, so many Christians are afraid to speak up, saying, well, that's not kind, not loving. It is kind. It is loving to tell the truth. We must tell the truth. I think the epitome of hate is to be silent when you know that silence is going to lead to harm and destruction. Kenny, thanks so much for joining us and calling in today. Let's get to a couple more calls. Let's go to Jerome in Louisiana. Jerome, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I would love to see Louisiana pass a heartbeat bill. It just broke my heart just to know a baby so small and so innocent, the creation of God, and someone with no heart and soul could put a scissor or a knife to try to kill a child that young and cannot defend themselves. I hope to God that we pass it here in Louisiana.
Well, go to work on it, Jerome. Louisiana actually usually at the top of the states when it comes to pro-life states. That's one of the things that Louisiana leads the nation on, is in pro-life legislation. And I'm proud to say I had a part in passing some of those bills back in Louisiana. Jerome, thanks so much for the call. Let's go back to Oklahoma, where Joel is on the line. Joel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. Thank you again for taking my call. I would just like to comment that, you know, I do like the fact that many states are passing the heartbeat bills, but I would like to hear your opinion on kind of going beyond even pro-life, because I know a lot of pro-life bills aren't quite there yet, and there's a growing abolitionist movement that is sweeping across the country, specifically here in Oklahoma and Texas. And you know, what is your opinion on pushing the total ban on abortion from the abolitionist of abortion standpoint?
I have always been supportive of doing all things to bring back an understanding of the sanctity of human life. And I think that, you know, I don't think the two are incompatible. Some think that you've got to take only an incremental approach. Some say, well, you should only go for, you know, the whole thing. I think it's a process, and I think what we've seen over the last two decades is that the process allows for conversation, and conversation leads to education, and education and understanding lead to a change. And it began, you know, I mean, it's been slow. I mean, it's been 46, you know, almost 46 years, and we see this process of working and educating, equipping, of ministering. And as a result, we see America at the threshold of becoming a pro-life nation again. When you study the dynamics of change, the gradual change that is brought about through conversation, education, is a sustainable change. When you have dramatic change, like we've seen a lot with the other ministry, with the previous administration and all their radical policies, that it affects what the homeostasis, the stability of society, and it creates conflict and tension, and it's not sustainable. So, you know, long answer to your question, but I think we should be working at both, and I think we're making progress doing both right now in the country. So, Joel, thanks so much for the call and for listening. The main thing is we've got to be involved, got to be changing those policies. Very quickly, going to work another call. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, you got to be happy today.
Yes, thanks. Great week for the state of Ohio. Ohio would have been even farther ahead of the curve. We'd had that bill up there before, and Rhino Kasich, the governor at the time, had vetoed it two or three times. They stuck with it. I give credit to everybody. Also, weeded out the Rhino Boehner. We've got a rock-solid person in Jordan. We still got the liberal Brown and the Rhino Portman, but we're working on it. And thanks to all the conservatives that supported Bibi Netanyahu, we have no greater ally in the world than Bibi Netanyahu. God bless you and keep fighting the good fight.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for listening and calling in, and congratulations to all those in the Buckeye State. He's right, you know, 9 years in the making, to Governor DeWine's credit, and I had conversations with him about this, he made this an issue in his election for governor, that he would sign it, where the predecessor, John Kasich, vetoed it twice. He said, I will sign it. And that did affect the support that he gained from a lot of pro-life social conservatives who actually were not with him in the primary. They supported other candidates in the primary, but he gained their support, and today he followed through on that commitment. And that's great news. We've got more to do, more work to do. Many more states need pro-life legislation. This is kind of the silver lining, I think, maybe to New York. Maybe that has awakened America to the choice that's before us. All right, folks, you know what that music means. We're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.